Hey guys, first off, happy new year and welcome. Welcome to the Where Do I Begin podcast. If you're new here, I am your host, Lola. And today we are going to be talking about the latest development in the crypto world that is shaking public markets. I know, that sounds crazy. Who would have thought? But before we get into that, my sincerest apologies for my long hiatus. I did give you guys notice that I was going to be away for a little while because life was truly, truly happening for me in so many areas. I might speak about some aspects of this in a much later episode. Well, at least the aspect that relates to finances and investment. And in line with that, I initially thought my first episode of 2024/comeback episode would actually be me doing a recap of 2023, given it was a tough year for most of us, as well as sort of talking about what to expect for 2024 and what some of the analysts are saying. However, given the news that landed in our laps on Friday, so today is Monday, 15th of January, when I'm doing this recording. I'll probably drop this episode at some point this week. We'll see, depending on my schedule. But yeah, given the news surrounding Bitcoin that landed in our laps on Friday, I thought I had to address this first, especially because it's a really, really big and exciting development. But also the story had been building up for the past 2 weeks since the start of the new year, to be fair. And then at some point last week, there were sort of stories floating around that, you know, this Bitcoin ETF story is not real, you know, that there was a leak on the SEC's Twitter account. Sorry, I'm still calling it Twitter. The SEC's X account. I'm sorry, I can never get used to calling it X. I'm so sorry, Elon Musk. It's just not going to happen. But yeah, there were stories floating around that, you know, there was a leak. It's not true. This, that, and the third. So I had to make sure I sort of verify and catch up on the news a little bit just to really figure out, like, what was going on. There was a whole bunch that was being said. And now that I've been able to verify it, I can come to the podcast and, you know, discuss it with you guys and pretty much tell you everything that you need to know surrounding this latest development. I must say, if you're not aware of what I'm talking about, still, I am talking about the fact that a Bitcoin ETF has been approved by the SEC, which is the Securities Exchange Commission. If you don't know who they are or what they do, I will dive into that later on in this episode. And to be fair, for a lot of us that are crypto skeptics or just not necessarily the biggest fan of crypto, I'm sure this is a development that we definitely did not see coming. But before I go any further, you guys know the drill. I need to read out this disclaimer and then we can get into the juicy stuff for this episode. So here we go. All of the information presented or spoken about on this podcast is for educational and general information use only. This is not investment or financial advice. Therefore, any information discussed should not be interpreted as personalized investment advice. Before making an investment decision, please do your own research, verify information for accuracy, and speak to a financial advisor. Please beware that liability for any investment decisions made falls entirely on you. Any brands, companies, or investment platforms referenced during the duration of this podcast or future episodes, again, are for educational purposes. This podcast is not sponsored by any of the brands or companies mentioned. Any information or advice given by guests solely represents the opinion of the guests and is independent of the Where Do I Begin podcast. So for today's episode, if I had to give you guys a headline, the headline is basically Bitcoin ETF has been approved by the SEC. However, the underlying asset, which is Bitcoin itself, has not been approved by the SEC. So let's get into it. Let's start from the beginning. What is a Bitcoin ETF? By the way, if at any point I say BTC ETF, I'm still referring to the same thing, Bitcoin ETF, but we'll see how this episode goes. I don't know if I'll be saying the short form or if I'll just be saying Bitcoin ETF throughout this episode. I literally have no idea, but we'll see how this goes. So yeah, what is a Bitcoin ETF? Essentially, a Bitcoin ETF is a financial product like stocks or bonds, quote unquote, that allows investors to gain exposure to Bitcoin price movements without owning the cryptocurrency itself. So the goal of this new ETF that has been approved is to track the performance of the Bitcoin, as that is the underlying asset. So the tracking of the performance bit is the ETF part of the Bitcoin, ETF equation. But there's a reason why Bitcoin itself has not been approved, which is why it has now been developed, or should I say a new product has evolved, which is now known as Bitcoin ETF. These are definitely some of the things that I find interesting and I enjoy about this industry, the constant innovation in financial markets, and just how complex some of these financial instruments are becoming. But you know what? Where there's a will, there's a way. That's what they say. So when I first heard about this development of this Bitcoin ETF, I'm not going to lie to you guys, it was given hybrid. It's given another hybrid financial product, because when you think about it, based on the definition I just gave you guys earlier, any product that derives its value from an underlying asset is known as a derivative, except that for Bitcoin, it now has ETF right next to it, which means there's some parts of this product that mirrors the characteristics of an index fund. So I'm just like, where do we go from here? But anyway, that's my nerdy brain going off. If you're not sure what an ETF is, or you don't know much about crypto, I would really, really implore you to sort of have a look at, I think it's episode 7 and 8, where I really talk about crypto a lot. Episode 8, I spoke to a dear friend of mine, Debo, who is the CEO of Stock Pickers Academy, and he is super, super knowledgeable when it comes to cryptocurrencies. So we really did like a very, very deep episode on that. And then in terms of financial instruments, index funds, investment strategies, financial products, all that good stuff, I have addressed those in season 1. So again, I would really implore you to sort of check those episodes out. They're basically like knowledge building blocks, because as you can imagine, it can be quite time consuming for me if every episode I have to explain every single definition of every single thing. I'll do my best to explain as much as I can as I go along, but I can't break down every single terminology as we go along. We're like, how many episodes in now? Probably 14 or 15 episodes in. But simply put, an ETF is basically a basket of stocks. But it does have similar characteristics to an index fund. That is the simplest and quickest way I can explain it to you guys. So now that this Bitcoin ETF has been improved, what does this actually mean? Essentially, from the SEC's point of view, what it means is that this is the most sustainable path forward that they see as far as cryptocurrency goes. Because I do not see a world where the SEC would ever approve or would ever officially approve cryptocurrencies as like part of the securities market, would ever approve as, you know, the most commonly used, I guess, form of, you know, making payments, you know, similar to what you would have with the dollar, the pound and the yen. I just don't see a world where that is happening. That might change. I might be wrong. I might be forced to eat these words a few years down the line. But we shall see. I just don't see that happening, right? But this also means that for public investors, i.e. the retail individual like you and me, we're going to have more access to Bitcoin like we've never had before as a result of this ETF. So the good thing about this ETF is, if you don't want to bother yourself about the knowledge surrounding blockchain, having a digital wallet, you know, understanding how the whole of that world works, a Bitcoin ETF is a great way for you to get exposure to Bitcoin without having a digital wallet, without being a crypto evangelist. You can just pop the money in there, forget about it and go. Because there are lots of benefits to this ETF, which again, I will address in this episode. So I'm sure you're wondering, why did they not approve Bitcoin itself? There are quite a few reasons for this. The first reason is that Bitcoin is still seen as a speculative, volatile asset. And the SEC still very much feels that cryptocurrencies in general and Bitcoin is being used for illicit activities, money laundering, ransomware, etc., etc. They also believe it's a speculative and volatile store of value, which means they don't believe in the intrinsic value of Bitcoin. I don't want to say they don't believe it's real, but, you know, essentially that's what that's kind of hinting at. Another reason why Bitcoin itself has not been approved is because under the definition of what an actual security is under SEC law, Bitcoin does not meet the specification of what is defined or termed as a security. Instead, the chair of the SEC, his name is Gary Gensler, he thinks Bitcoin should be classified as a commodity. Now, if Bitcoin is classified as a commodity, there's a whole other regulatory body that has to, you know, regulate, you know, that essentially, which will go against the whole appeal of cryptocurrencies, which is the fact that it's supposed to have a decentralized system. So you can see how this is becoming very, very complicated very quickly. For those that are having issues as to why, I guess, the SEC did not approve Bitcoin itself, you know, one of the arguments you will come across is the fact that when you look at the stats, there's more money laundering done with dollars or pounds or with, like, traditional forms of money than there are with crypto. So one of the facts that I came across was a reporter had said something along the lines of about 20,000 units of dollars used is actually used for illicit activity compared to 33 units for Bitcoin. And whilst that sounds valid, my rebuttal in my mathematical brain is saying that that sounds about right. Like, that makes sense, because traditional forms of money, i.e. the dollar, the pound, the yen, or whatever currency you're using, is more widely used. So mathematically speaking, I expect the percentage of, you know, the dollar that is circulated, or the pound that is circulated, or the yen that is circulated, I expect that there will be a greater percentage of that being used for illicit activity than, I don't know, a cryptocurrency, for example, or a Bitcoin. But that's just my statistical, mathematical brain. You know, it's almost like you're comparing chicken and eggs. But anyway, that's a whole different conversation. But I just thought it would be good for me to sort of explain why they're approving an ETF, but they're not approving, you know, the asset itself, which would be Bitcoin in this case. So with that being said, I think it's important for us to actually define what a security is, and what falls under the SEC law. And given that I'm not a securities markets lawyer, I obviously had to do some research for you guys. Most people, if you ask them what a security is, they'll be like, oh, you know, stocks, bonds, cash, you know, the traditional forms of securities. But there are other securities that come under the definition of quote unquote security. So I feel like I've been saying security a lot. So let's just get into the definition. And yeah, we'll go from there. So a security is defined broadly and extends beyond the confines of traditional stocks and bonds, as I mentioned earlier, because there are different types of securities. So some of you may have heard of derivatives, options, and investment contracts. None of which, by the way, I think is worth knowing about in great detail as a retail investor in your bid to build long-term wealth. So yeah, I don't think you need to worry about derivatives, options. It's too complicated. It's not needed. You can just forget that. But essentially, that is what a security is. And as I mentioned earlier, that the SEC, you know, is the Securities Exchange Commission. So basically, they are the regulatory body that provide oversight and are responsible for regulating securities markets, and to make sure that they're enforcing the law, to make sure that there's no market manipulation going on, and to also make sure that they are protecting investors. So if, let's say, the investment platform you're using, I don't know, does something dodgy and you lose all your investments, then they could potentially the consequences that that platform has with the SEC, and they may be forced to pay a fine or, I don't know, compensate you for the losses in some shape or form. Again, I'm not a securities markets lawyer, so I don't know what the nitty-gritty details of what the consequences of that would be. But essentially, they are the regulatory body for securities, which is why they're called the Securities Exchange Commission. So if a financial instrument qualifies as a security, then it becomes subject to the regulatory framework established by both the federal and state securities law, which, as I've explained, is where the role of a body such as the SEC comes in. So I hope that explains who the SEC is, what they do, and why it's important for us to define what a security is. So moving on, this is where it starts getting a little bit interesting and maybe a little bit complicated, but stay with me, it's gonna make sense. I promise you it's gonna make sense. And if it doesn't, just slide in my DMs, ask the questions, I'll break it down to you. So the SEC chair, Gary Gensler, he's made it very clear that he believes the vast majority of cryptocurrencies are securities, strangely enough, based on something called the Howey test, which comes from a 1946 Supreme Court ruling in the SEC versus W.J. Howey Co. I don't know who that man is, but you can do your Googles to find out who he is and what he does or what he did. So Gensler also has specifically mentioned that Bitcoin, as an exception, should be classified as a commodity. And now I'm sure your brain is going, what is going on? Because Bitcoin comes under the umbrella term of a cryptocurrency. And you've just said that majority of the cryptocurrencies are classified as securities, but Bitcoin is one of the exceptions that is not. So if Bitcoin is one of the exceptions that is not and is classified as a commodity, then that means there are other cryptocurrencies that could potentially be classified as a commodity. So now the question becomes, how do we distinguish between which cryptocurrency is a commodity and which one is a security? So we'll now have a look at the Howey test that I mentioned earlier, which kind of sets out the criteria of what should be determined, of what should be determined a security and what should be determined a commodity, basically. So let's have a look at the Howey test. What does the Howey test say? Under the Howey test, a transaction is considered to be a security if it meets the following criteria. One, the money is invested. Two, there is a certain expectation that the investor will earn a profit. Three, the investment is a common enterprise. And four, the profits are generated via the efforts of others. So based on that, I think maybe two out of those 4 points, Bitcoin doesn't quite fit that criteria when you think about it. And well, mainly because one, it's not a commonly wild used, I guess, currency. So basically the investment is not a common enterprise. Not everybody owns Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in general. And the expectation that the investor will earn a profit, that is not guaranteed because it's a highly speculative asset, as we've mentioned. So I guess in that sense it doesn't quite fit, but this is the caveat that they are using to sort of determine whether Bitcoin is a security or a commodity. And I hope I've been able to explain that clearly, even though I'm not a lawyer. I guess another distinction between, I guess, a commodity and a security is that when you invest in commodities, you are investing in basic raw materials, right? And this could range from oil to natural gas to wheat, or precious metals like gold or silver. Whereas if you invest in securities, it involves buying financial instruments that represent a certain value. So that makes sense when you think about investing in a stock. When you're investing in a stock or an Apple stock, you're not physically buying the Apple stock or the Apple building, if that makes sense. you know, you're invested in a vehicle or in an instrument that represents the value of the business of Apple, if that makes sense, which is different to investing in, I don't know, oil or gas or something you can physically touch, or gold, etc., etc. So I guess that would also be another major distinction as to what you can classify as a security or a commodity. So now that we've got all the definitions out of the way, the question is, we've established Bitcoin is a commodity, which is why it's not been approved by the SEC. However, we've also established that a Bitcoin ETF is a security, which is why it has been approved under the rules and on the law of the SEC. So with that being said, will crypto or Bitcoin itself ever be approved under the SEC based on the definitions I've just given out to you guys? The simple answer is no. It's not happening, okay? Unless the law changes, or yeah, it's just not happening. That's the simple answer, is no. And the other reason why it's no is because the crypto evangelists will tell you that the whole appeal around cryptocurrencies, as I mentioned earlier, is the fact that it has a decentralized system. For Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency to be approved for wide use by, you know, the public, etc., etc., or to even be approved as a security, would mean that it would be moving from a decentralized system to a centralized system, which means there's going to be regulatory laws and enforcement in place to regulate the crypto market, which would never happen, right? Because by definition, crypto is not supposed to be quote unquote regulated. So that's what I said. Crypto in itself, or Bitcoin by itself, as the raw asset, I don't see ever being approved by the SEC. However, if people continue to innovate and come up with hybrid products, i.e. like this Bitcoin ETF, which has the characteristics of a security, then you can bypass investing in Bitcoin directly and just invest in the ETF. So I hope that makes sense to you guys. Right. I know the answer I just gave you might still not be satisfactory for some, because in your mind, if the ETF is tracking the performance of the Bitcoin, then they're clearly linked in some way. Why wouldn't they just approve it? And I think some of the other things to look at are the original reservations, or the original arguments, that have been against crypto for as long as I can remember. Again, check out episode 7 and 8, I think it is, where I did 2 episodes specifically on cryptocurrencies, to explore that a bit more. And some of the most common arguments you find, again, is that they are highly speculative, and volatile in nature. Cryptocurrencies lack regulation. They're used for money laundering and other illicit activities. They're not widely used when compared to traditional currencies like the pound or the dollar. And then the impact on the environment of something like Bitcoin as a result of mining. Again, I think we delved into this in the cryptocurrency episode, but just in case people don't know what mining is when it comes to cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, mining is not the physical act of digging for Bitcoin, in the sense of mining, the same way you would dig for gold, right? But mining essentially is an energy intensive process that is primarily performed by powerful computers, to ensure something known in the crypto world called proof of work, which essentially is the process of searching for answers to an arbitrary mathematical puzzle in return for a fixed reward of Bitcoin. So proof of work, which is comes as a result of the process of mining, is searching for answers to an arbitrary mathematical puzzle in return for a fixed reward of Bitcoin. So this ensures that the crypto ledger that represents the balances of digital money and validates new transactions cannot be corrupted, cannot be gamed, in quote. But as we've seen, particularly in 2022, and even during the pandemic, there have been instances where the price of Bitcoin has been manipulated. So this argument, this proof of work, remains to be seen or to be widely accepted as proof. as proof that, you know, there can't be market manipulation, or, you know, it is completely foolproof. It's investing in crypto is completely secure, etc., etc. So this is why, I guess, this whole why would the Bitcoin itself not be approved by the SEC? These are still some of the main reservations around it. One, it's not considered a security; it's considered a commodity. And two, you know, the original reservations or original arguments against cryptocurrencies still stand. So for that reason, yeah, it will most likely never be approved by the SEC. But people can continue to innovate, though, through ETFs and other financial instruments to try and see if they can get exposure to cryptocurrencies that way. So with that being said, what are the benefits of the Bitcoin ETF? The first benefit I would say is that it offers a regulated and well-known investment structure. So I think that if you've been having reservations about investing in crypto, if you've been confused about the investment gurus you're seeing online saying they're making thousands and thousands from trading crypto, I think this would be a much safer route for you to get some exposure to cryptocurrencies because it is regulated by the SEC, and it has a well-known investment structure. Another benefit of this Bitcoin ETF is that it will have a slightly lower risk return profile compared to investing in crypto directly on the crypto exchange. So that's something to also keep in mind. So you're not taking as much risk. Although I've always kind of said, for me personally, if I was to ever invest in crypto, I'm never going to put money that I'm not willing to lose into crypto just because of the amount of uncertainty that surrounds it, right? So I think the same rule can be applied here. But the good thing is because there is some level of regulation and because it means that, you know, it means that the risk return profile would basically be lower compared to investing directly in the underlying asset, which would be the Bitcoin or the Ethereum or whatever other cryptocurrencies are out there, or the Dogecoin. I don't even know if that still exists. But anyway, it would offer a lower volatility and it will have a low risk return profile compared to investing directly in a crypto exchange. Another benefit, which I think I've sort of mentioned earlier, to this Bitcoin ETF is that for the retail investor, so for people like me and you, we don't have to worry about setting up or maintaining a digital wallet, or use crypto exchange or learn about blockchain. We don't need to bother our amazing brains with that. The Bitcoin ETF also comes with diversification benefits, which is an inherent characteristic of investing in ETFs or just index funds in general, because the Bitcoin ETF essentially will hold a basket of Bitcoins rather than a single unit of Bitcoin. Another benefit is that given that it's an ETF, another inherent characteristic of an ETF is that it's cheaper to buy in, so essentially lower barriers to entry, because I think the current price of Bitcoin actually stands at $47,000 at the moment. I don't know if any of us have that sort of just lying around to just put into Bitcoin. So the retail investor like you and me, we can buy in at a cheaper at a cheaper rate if you want some exposure to this financial product. And then the final benefit I will talk about is the fact that you can buy or sell this Bitcoin ETF daily like other publicly traded securities in the market, which, you know, means more liquidity essentially. There are definitely some benefits, and I think it's something to definitely take a look at if you've been thinking about investing in crypto, but, you know, you've not quite had the confidence to just go for it. I think this Bitcoin ETF is for sure a game changer that could potentially change your mind. So, you know, do your research, as I always say, and verify information, then go from there. That being said, though, I think it's important to also note that ETFs are also subject to general market swings in the public / traditional markets, regardless of whether it's a crypto ETF or not. So if there's something going on in the market that's causing, you know, a swing in for index funds or you know, the S&P 500 or the FTSE 100, then this could potentially also impact the Bitcoin ETF. So it's not exempt from general market swings just because it's a crypto ETF. It's basically what I am trying to say. And so, yeah, if you are looking for a Bitcoin ETF to invest in, you can research more into BlackRock's Spot Bitcoin ETF. I think the ticker for that is IBIT. And I think this particular ETF has been approved with 10 other ETFs actually as of the 10th of January 2024. So if you're trying to have a look at what other, I guess, crypto ETFs are out there apart from this Bitcoin ETF, I think you should definitely check out BlackRock's website. They have quite a few that has been approved that are on there. So definitely check that out. And I just thought it was interesting as well that the original application for this ETF was actually submitted to the SEC on the 15th of June 2023. So this was actually a couple of months, you know, in the making. But yeah, if you want to find out more information about BlackRock's Spot Bitcoin ETF, I think it's also known as a Bitcoin Trust, you can definitely check out the BlackRock's website for that. Again, the ticker for that is IBIT. I'm trying to think of anything else that might be useful for you guys to know moving forward. I think that might be it. I think we might be coming to the end of this episode. I guess the next crypto to sort of keep on your watch list is Ethereum. That is the next crypto that is trending at the moment. I don't know if I'm going to do an episode on this at a later date, but Ethereum is another one that I am keeping a close eye on for now, just to learn more about it in general, and to see if a security instrument would be innovated to make sure we can invest in Ethereum in a safe and secure manner, just like this Bitcoin ETF. But we shall see. So yeah, again, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for bearing with me. Thank you for all your support in 2023. I've definitely missed recording. Apologies if by the time you hear this, I am stumbling over my words a little bit. It has been a little while since I've recorded a podcast. As you can imagine, talking on a podcast and talking to your friends is a bit different. Even when you're talking to your friends, sometimes you're stumbling over your words. But yeah, just bear with me till I get back into the full swing of things. But hopefully it was a smooth listen. And yeah, I can't wait to hear your feedback on this episode. Feel free to drop feedback on Spotify or even on the Instagram page. The Instagram page, for those who don't know, is where do I begin _pod. So you can find us on Instagram and follow and all that good stuff. And yeah, don't forget to share with a friend and share with a friend, especially if you found the information useful in today's podcast. So thank you again for listening, and I shall see you soon, hopefully in the next episode, where I will be discussing, you know, what went wrong in 2023, the trends, and what to look out for in 2024 to make sure that you are potentially investing in the most profitable industries, you're reducing your exposure to risk, and essentially just framing your financial future. So yeah, again, I hope this was helpful, and see you next time. Take care. Bye.